Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to call your attention this morning to verses 8 through 10. 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Hear now the word of God. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. Now, as you know, three things are intimately tied together. We're in a section that's dealing with ethics, Christian ethics, how we ought to live and speak and think and act. What should be our overall lifestyle? What is our duty before God? What's right and what's wrong? Christian ethics. But Christian ethics is always united with our experience. What happened to us? What did God do to us? And that's also united with God's plan of salvation. Christian theology, Christian doctrine, key biblical truths. What was God's great and glorious plan of salvation? That's tied with our experience, what He did to us in time and space, when He made us Christians, when He changed us, what was our experience, and that's tied then with our ethic, what's right and wrong, how we ought to live. I want to take several minutes here at the beginning to review some of Ephesians. And God willing, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. As Peter wrote about the power of reminding people of biblical truths in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It stirs us up. He says it awakens us from being sleepy and sluggish to be reminded of particular doctrinal truths, key biblical truths from the Bible. And there are several that are repeated throughout Ephesians, and we need to wake up and pay special attention to these repeated doctrinal truths in Ephesians. And they are the core central biblical truths that God wants us to learn in order to properly live for Him in our Christian lives. As we know, Paul's letter to the Ephesians began with God's eternal plan of salvation. Turn in your Bibles over to the beginning of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And as we have said, the theme of Ephesians is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We speak highly of God. We bless God because He speaks highly of us. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not one spiritual blessing that we have is outside of Christ. Christ alone is our all in all. That's one of the solas of the Protestant Reformation. It is the theme of Ephesians. Christ alone is our all in all. Solus Christus. Christ alone. Similarly, God in eternity, before the foundation of the world, elected. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without blame before Him. That's the start of the whole plan of salvation, is that we would be holy, that He elected and chose us in Christ to be holy and without blame before Him, because God Himself is holy and without blame. Our aim must be to be without sin and perfectly righteous because God, who chose us, is without sin and perfectly righteous. Paul is echoing the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Or think of Peter in 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. We must be holy because God, who elected us, who called us, is holy. In moral terms, light is holiness. In moral terms, we are to be light, not darkness. We are to be light because God is light. We are to be holy because He is holy. And we would say, why? Why? In love, as Ephesians 1:4 ends, God set His love upon us in Christ. All of our blessings in Christ flow from God's love. After choosing us in Christ to be holy and without blame before Him, in love, God predestined us to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. For us to be adopted as God's children, we must first be holy and without blame, because God is holy and without blame. The order is important. Why did God do this? Why did God plan all of this? Well, it pleased God. It was acceptable to Him. It was according to the good pleasure of His will. See that at the end of verse 5, Ephesians 1, 5? It's according to the good pleasure of His will. Things please Him and give Him pleasure. Certain things are acceptable to Him. Now, what were we before Christ? What were we before Christ? Look over at Ephesians 1, 7. We were sinners who needed forgiveness. Look at the middle of Ephesians 1, 7. It speaks of the forgiveness of sins. We were sinners who needed to be forgiven of sins. We had offended God. Matthew said the same thing as Paul, that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. And we were so sinful that we were totally depraved. The effect of sin was total. Sin had corrupted every part of our being. And ponder how the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2 describes our total depravity before Christ. Look over at Ephesians 2. Starting at the end, the last part of the verse 1 there of Ephesians 2, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we were like as sinners. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So we see before God we needed forgiveness. We were sinners under His wrath. We needed forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:7. As sinners, we were also under the power of sin, and we needed to be set free from the power of sin in our lives. That's what Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 is getting at. Or ponder, look over at Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Look over there at Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Describes again how we once sinfully walked like the Gentiles, as totally depraved sinners. Look at the end of the verse there, of verse 17, Ephesians 4, 17, at the end of the verse, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now this is how we used to walk, as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And as he states there, you should no longer walk that way. You should no longer walk that way. But we were totally depraved sinners, helpless, lost, enslaved to sin. we, who God in eternity chose to be holy in Christ, that we should be adopted as His sons, desperately needed forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7 states that. God accomplished our forgiveness of sins through the redemption of Christ's blood at the cross, as Ephesians 1:7 says. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And we know that that forgiveness is not deserved. It is of God's grace. Look at Ephesians 1:7. See the end of Ephesians 1:7. It's according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. So, at God's appointed time, and in His way, this is His plan of salvation. He planned it all. He sent Christ to redeem us at the cross through His shed blood. And then to each one of His elect, each one of His people individually during their lives on this planet, He regenerates their hearts. He applies that redemption through the Holy Spirit. To each one of God's chosen individually, God gives each one the Holy Spirit as the initial payment of what each one will fully inherit as God's adopted son at Christ's second coming. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 puts it this way, at the end of verse 13, that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, till it's full and complete in heaven. The day of redemption takes place when Christ returns, and it all's to the praise of His glory. But the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our full inheritance, the security, the initial down payment. And the Holy Spirit was given to each one of God's elect when God regenerates their hearts, when God changes them. In regeneration, God gives new spiritual life. And from then on, He is a new creature in Christ, which is the emphasis of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. You He made alive, right? Made us alive together with Christ. In Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation in Christ. This is His whole point there. And at that point of being changed, being regenerated, being given spiritual life when we were spiritually dead, we're a new creature in Christ. When our regeneration took place, we're given the Holy Spirit, who is the initial payment of our full inheritance that we will receive as God's adopted son when Christ returns. Now, the Holy Spirit is not only the guarantee that we will one day receive our full inheritance as God's adopted children, but the Holy Spirit frees us from the power of sin. The Holy Spirit frees us from the power of sin by enabling us to live for God in Christ. Think about it this way. Christ abides in us through the Holy Spirit, which is why the Holy Spirit is referred to a couple of times in the New Testament as the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the Holy Spirit is actually the Spirit of Christ, because the Holy Spirit's function is to carry out Christ's work in us, to see that Christ gets glorified. Our new walk and lifestyle in Christ is forever changed by the Holy Spirit. We cannot go back to the old lifestyle of sin that we had before Christ. God changed us through the Holy Spirit when He applied Christ's redemption to us, when He gave us the gift of faith, when He gave us new life. We must walk worthy then of the calling to which we are called. Ephesians 4:1. God changed us. So we will see many of these principles, put it that way, in our text this morning. Please follow along with today's sermon using the outline that's in the bulletin. Point one, God changed us. Become what you are in Christ. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Before Christ, as the old man, you were darkness. That's what he's telling each one of us. That's what we were. Now, as the new man, you are light in the Lord. Now we are light in the Lord, verse 8. So you should now walk as children of light. Verse 8. God changed us. That is our experience. And the change in us and our walk, the contrast between what we once were and what we now are, that great contrast is as great as the difference between darkness and light. And if you don't have that great difference and change in your life, you need to cry out to God to change you. And as we have seen, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 5 describes that great change that he made us alive when we were dead. Why? Why? Ephesians 2:10, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God chose you. God predestined you. He redeemed you. He forgave you of sin. He regenerated your heart. He gave you the Holy Spirit so that you would walk in good works. He did all of it so that you would no longer have an overall lifestyle characterized by spiritual death and darkness and sin, but rather a new life characterized by life and light and good works. You were darkness, and now you are light. We've seen that in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. Look over there, just glance at that. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Paul reminded the believers at Ephesus what they were before God changed them, as we've said. Before Christ, we were hardened against God, darkened. We were futile in our thinking, separated from God's life. We were insensitive to holiness. We indulged and satisfied every kind of sensual sin. And Paul says we should no longer walk that way, Ephesians 4:17. We should no longer walk that way. In Ephesians 4:20-24, he reminded the Ephesians, as he's reminding us, that in spite of this sinful background, in spite of their old lives living in darkness and sin, they nevertheless had been saved by God, united to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and had come to know and experience Jesus Christ, who leads his followers in an entirely different lifestyle, the new man, as it states in verse 24, the new man. Paul says that we did not learn or experience Christ in any way that allows us to continue in sin as the old man. Now you are light in the Lord. Now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. That's what he gets into in Ephesians 4:25 and following. Ephesians 4:25 and following. Paul then lays out specific commands for us in the process of sanctification, as we've seen. To walk as children of light. And sanctification involves both putting away sin, and then for every sin that's put away of the old man, to think, what Christ-like character trait of holiness do I replace it with? It involves both putting away and putting on. Putting away sin and putting on holiness. So the commands there at the end of Ephesians 4 show us what being holy and without blame looks like in our walk and lifestyle, as God eternally chose us to be in Christ. We're to walk as children of light. Our call to worship from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6:16 says that God dwells in unapproachable light. At the center of the Christian ethic, we are commanded to imitate or copy God. Right? We've seen that. Ephesians 5:1. Look at Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And it comes out in this metaphor of light. God changed us in Christ to imitate or copy Him in our new lifestyle. Remember what Ephesians 4:24 says. Look at that. Ephesians 4:24. The new man was created according to God. Anyone here who is a true believer, a true Christian, was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness and light. God does not sin. So ponder what Ephesians 4:25 and following says in light of who God is and what God does. Think about it. Look at Ephesians 4:25. God is always truthful. Therefore, we must be truthful and not lie. In light of Ephesians 4:26, we are to be angry against sin and sin not. Don't have unrighteous anger. God always hates sin. God always hates sin. So therefore, we must hate sin. Or think of Ephesians 4:28. God Himself is always at work, sustaining and ruling the universe. He is the only potentate, as we sang in the hymn, providing good things to him who is in need. God is the giver of all good. He is laboring and working now, and therefore you and I are to imitate and copy Him, and to be laboring with our hands, doing what is good, so that we also would have something to share with him who is in need. Or think of Ephesians 4:29. God always speaks edifying words that build up and impart grace to His hearers. Therefore, we're to imitate and copy Him and do likewise. Or in light of Ephesians 4:32, God is kind, God is tenderhearted, God is forgiving. And that is what we must be. God is loving to us in Christ. Ephesians 5:2, that is what we must be. We must be loving likewise. As God's dear beloved children, chosen in Christ to be holy and without blame, predestined to be adopted as God's sons, we are commanded to imitate our Heavenly Father, to follow His example, which means we must put away all sin and imitate or copy our Heavenly Father as His dear children. We must be truthful because God is truthful. We must hate sin because God hates sin. We must work with our own hands because God works. We must speak edifying words because God does. We must be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving because God is. We must love because God loves. We are commanded to be imitators of God as dear beloved children. Ephesians 5:1. Now, how are we able to do that? How? Well, God changed us in Christ. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Paul continues to repeat the truth in Ephesians chapter 5. That he continues on. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 4 again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. God in eternity, before the foundation of the world, chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Look at verse 5. Then He predestined us to be adopted as His sons in Christ Jesus. We see that only those who are holy and blameless can be God's children. Now look. You see predestination in Ephesians 1:5. Look at Ephesians 1:11. Significantly, predestination is mentioned again in Ephesians 1:11, which unites our predestination to be God's sons to our inheritance as God's sons. You see that? Ephesians 1:11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Inheritance and predestination. Adoption as sons and predestination. We were predestined to be adopted as God's sons in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:5, which means then that in Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. Sons inherit from their fathers. Sons inherit from their fathers. Okay, back to Ephesians chapter 5. Keep your fingers busy this morning. Back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:1. Only by imitating God in holiness, in obedient living, do we show that we are God's adopted children. Only by obedient living, only by holiness, light, that we show that we're God's adopted children. Only children inherit from their fathers. Only by imitating God's holiness in obedient living do we show that we will inherit heaven, that we will inherit the kingdom of God and of Christ. Ephesians 5:5, look down there. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. None of them who practice those sins, where those sins are their overall lifestyle, none of them have an inheritance of heaven. Only a son of God has inheritance of heaven. Practicing sins are not fitting for us as believers. Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. They're not fitting for us who have been elected to be holy and blameless in love, predestined to be adopted as sons. And as sons who imitate and copy God in holiness, in obedient living. That's why these sins are not fitting. And that's why we get down here in verse 8, Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For you were once darkness, you were once totally depraved, enslaved to sin. Sinfulness characterized our walk and lifestyle before God changed us. Ephesians 4:18 to 19 reminds us that our understanding was darkened. Darkened. Ephesians 4:18. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and we must walk as children of light. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. Now when you read and you think and you hear Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light, it should remind you of some words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. You're sitting there thinking, that reminds me of something Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember, God's whole plan of salvation is to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:6. Ephesians 1:6. God's whole great and glorious plan of salvation, of why he elected us, why he predestinated us, why he redeemed us, gave us the adoption as sons and an inheritance. Why? It is all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:6 or Ephesians 1:12, to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:14, to the praise of his glory. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Have you thought about your good works as a Christian light shining out of you that glorifies your Heavenly Father? You know, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number one, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. One of the main ways we do it is evidencing our changed life, our conversion, that we're a new creature in Christ, and it's seen through an overall lifestyle of good works and holiness and obedience to God. You are now light in the Lord. You see that? Verse 8, in the Lord. Not in and of ourselves. Only in the Lord. In Christ, united to Christ. Just as only He chose us in Christ, predestinated us in Christ, adopted us in Christ, our inheritance is in Christ, our redemption is in Christ, our forgiveness of sins is in Christ. Christ alone saves. So He says, we're light in the Lord. Only in Christ are we light. Jesus said of Himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are light in Him. We are light in the Lord. Christians are not the light. We have no light in and of ourselves. Have you thought about that? We have no light in and of ourselves. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. John 15, 5. We are children of light, as it says in verse 8. Our lives are to be reflections of a light that resides in Jesus. Our lives are to be reflections of a light that resides in Jesus. Think about an illustration of the moon and the sun. Right? The sunshine is out right now. It's the daytime. The sun is shining, right? It lights the world. At night, on a clear night where there's no clouds, at night the moon lights the darkness, right? Well, technically, no. The moon has no light in and of itself. It merely reflects sunlight. Similarly, you and I, we're like the moon. We have no light in and of ourselves. We merely reflect the light of Jesus, the sun. But the moon lights the darkness. And you and I are to let our light so shine in this dark world. What? The light of Christ. Just as the moon lights the darkness from light from the sun. We are commanded to walk as children of light. When others see our walk and lifestyle, they should see the light of Jesus living in us through the Holy Spirit. I say through the Holy Spirit. Remember, Christ is the light of the world, John 8, 12. He's the light of life. And He abides in us through the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is referred to a couple of times as the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, look at verse 9 in our text. It refers to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the capital S, fruit of the Holy Spirit. In our regeneration, the Holy Spirit was given to us. When He made us alive, when we had been spiritually dead, that new life, when we're born again spiritually, the Holy Spirit is given to us as the guarantee of our inheritance as adopted sons. That's Ephesians 1:14. Our new walk and lifestyle in Christ is forever changed by the Holy Spirit. We cannot go back to the old lifestyle of sin that we had before Christ. Practicing the sins of Ephesians 5:3 are not fitting for you and I, and we cannot go back. Because now we are children of light. God changed us. Christ, the light of life, indwells us through the Holy Spirit. And that light shines forth. What is the fruit of life? What does the light within us produce? Point two, the good fruit of light. Verse 9, look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Think about it this way. Goodness, righteousness, and truth summarize the ethic, the Christian ethic of everything he's been talking about from Ephesians 4:25 onward. From Ephesians 4:25 and following. We're to put away lies and speak truth, etc., etc., etc. We're to imitate and copy God and all of those things. And all of those things he's summarizing in three things. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. We're to have goodness. We're to be good-hearted, tender-hearted, kind, forgiving. We're to share our material possessions to the needy. We're not to have malice and bitterness and all the rest. No, we're to have goodness. We're to have righteousness. We're to put away all fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, sensuality in the world and selfishness. We're to put all that away and we're to honor God's moral standards. We're to be righteous. And we're to embody truth. We're to put away all filthiness and corrupt speech, all lying, foolish talking, coarse jesting. We're to be people of honesty and speak truthfully one to another. God himself, think about it this way, God himself in who he is embodies goodness, righteousness, and truth. He embodies goodness, righteousness, and truth. Christ, the fullness of deity, dwells in bodily form in Christ. He is fully God. He indwells us through the Holy Spirit. So what? His attributes that can be communicated to us should be seen through us. God is good, goodness should be seen through us shining forth. God is righteous, righteousness should be seen through us shining forth. God is truth, truthfulness should be seen through us shining forth to a watching world. Christ indwells us through the Holy Spirit. And that light will radiate forth into the dark world. Remember, as we went through Galatians, Christ is being formed within us, Galatians 4:19. Christ is being formed within us. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Jesus, the light, lives in me, and that light will shine forth, and others will see Christ living in us. If you have no fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been changed and converted, goodness, righteousness, and truth don't characterize your life. If that's not your overall walk and lifestyle, be warned. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, every tree is an analogy to human beings, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire of hell. As Paul said in Ephesians 5:5-6, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God, hellfire, comes upon the sons of disobedience. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire of hell. Now listen carefully. Do not understand that any of this means good works get you to heaven. Do not understand it that way. Good works do not get us to heaven. Good works by us do not earn heaven. They do not. God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone gets one to heaven. Christ alone is the one who earned heaven. A life of sin, a life of overall sin, shows that one's not in Christ. One's never been changed. One's still totally depraved. A life of sin with no good fruit is what earns hell. A sinful walk and lifestyle gets one to hell. Christ alone earns heaven. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our good works only flow from what God has graciously done to us in Christ." God saved us. God redeemed us. God forgave us of sins. Christ earned it all. He applies it to us through the Holy Spirit, gives us new spiritual lives, gives us the gift of faith, saves us by grace, makes us Christians in order to do what? Live for Him and let our light shine, let our good works shine, let Christ live in us through the Holy Spirit so that others see Jesus in us and glorify God in heaven. God alone gets all the glory, even for our good works as Christians. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Point three, discerning God's will. Living as children of light is determined not only by what we do. Don't sin. Live for God, be obedient, be holy. Living as children of light is determined not only by what we do and do not do, but also by whom we please. Who do you please? Finding out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord is what's key. What gives pleasure to God? Is that your driving motive in life? Several years ago, John Piper wrote a very good book entitled The Pleasures of God. The Pleasures of God. The Bible describes many things that please God. Why did He choose us? To be holy and blameless in love. Before the foundation of the world, and predestined us to be adopted as His sons, because it pleased Him. It was according to the good pleasure of His will. The Bible describes many things that please God, and many things that offend Him. Sins offend Him. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. With this brief wording, the Apostle Paul reminds us that living as a child of light is a matter of the motive of our heart as well as the works of our hands. Not only are we to do what God commands for fruitfulness, but we are to do so out of a desire to please Him. We should delight in what God delights in. Mere outward conformity to God's commands is not what God requires. The person who does what God says with a resentful heart and unloving obedience does not bear the mark of a true child of light. But the heart that's been changed and renewed by the Holy Spirit desires to please God and live a life that is acceptable to God, pleasing to God. And that's one of the reasons why you and I should be studying the Bible. Finding out what pleases God. Think about what Paul has been writing to the Christians at Ephesus. Paul writes to the Christians at Ephesus, and these Christians were people who lived in a very pagan, wicked society. The Christians were struggling to live as children of light. Why does he tell them to find out, to prove as in testing a metal, to prove as in testing a metal, to find out what pleases God, what's acceptable to Him? He's saying to the Christian Ephesians, as he's saying to you and I, that even in our weakness and frailty, we can please God. We can please God by the power of Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. With Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit, we can please God, the creator of the universe. It's an amazing thought. If you truly are a child of light, then you will seek to please God in all things rather to offend him by sinning. Everything in life is personal. Christianity involves do's and don'ts, but it all flows from the author of the universe, one who created all things and has authority over all things. Are we seeking to please him or offend him? We see this truth elsewhere in the Bible in several places. Listen, Romans 12:1-2. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Or think of 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God. Is that your aim and goal in life, to be well-pleasing to God? Or 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. That is our Christian ethic. And it is tied to our Christian experience, what God did to us in changing us, which is tied to key biblical truths, God's great and glorious plan of salvation. Is your desire now to please the Lord? Do you study the Bible daily to learn and know what pleases God and what offends him? Do others see the light of Jesus shining through you and your overall walk and lifestyle? Do others see good works in your life that only Jesus can produce? Are you living to please and glorify God? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are heavenly. We know that from your word that some of the greatest beams of light from your pure and holy character are goodness, righteousness, and truth. And we pray, dear Lord, as Christ, the light of the world, the light of life, as he abides in us through the Holy Spirit, that those great rays of moral light, of righteousness, goodness, and truth would shine through us to a watching world in darkness. And we pray that they would see our good works and glorify you. For it is you who changed us. It is you who made us alive when we were spiritually dead, freed us from the power of sin through the Holy Spirit. It is you who planned our great and glorious salvation through the redemption of Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that you would be our vision, that your presence would be our light. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
Please stand as we sing number 60 in the hymnal, Be Thou My Vision. Then we'll have the benediction and the doxology sanctuaries on the back of the bulletin. Please stand, number 60, Be Thou My Vision.